100 yards away. He slowed the boat, enjoying the thick, salty air. For 10 years he'd toiled, working to stash away $2 million, enough to retire. Tomorrow he'd have it. The money he was about to pick up, plus the additional $150,000 he'd receive once the job was done, would give him $2 million plus enough for 3 or 4 plastic surgeries, enough to ensure his anonymity and safety long term. He'd always been proud of his nose. When he was a boy, his mother called it a Roman nose. She'd said the prominent raised bump in the center was the mark of a true Italian. It was too distinctive, though. Flattening it would be his first surgery. Hell, maybe he'd retire in Miami. Going home to Italy was never in the cards. He'd planned to go to a small country where his olive skin would blend in, Latvia, or maybe Crete. But a day in Miami had made him reconsider. He had 15 more good years, maybe 20, and he vowed to spend them in the sun. A good surgeon could sculpt a few Cuban features, allowing him to blend in with the community in Miami. Then again, actual Cubans would be more likely to know he was a fraud. In any case, he was less than a week from retirement, and he could already taste the Barolo. No matter how hard he tried not to appear Italian anymore, he couldn't give up the wine. Tied to a dinghy 50 yards from the ship of the Crescent Island, a rowboat bobbed in the water. DeSantis killed the engine, drifted, then threw the anchor. A second later, it landed with a light tug against his boat. He was still in shallow water. He put on his goggles and pulled an X-Acto knife and a diving light from the duffel bag, then folded his t-shirt neatly, flicked on the light, and slipped silently into the water. The water was warmer than the air, an odd sensation. The lakes of northern Italy had never been this warm, especially in December. He swam easily, his taut, wiry body a coiled spring, and found the bottom of the rowboat. The package was there. 3 feet long and maybe a foot deep, it was held in place by duct tape. With 4 deft strokes of the X-Acto knife, he cut it loose, expecting it to drift down into his arms. It didn't. He tugged, but the package didn't move. He came up for air, holding the side of the boat and emptying droplets of water from his goggles. Across Biscayne Bay, a boat moved through the orange dawn. Judging by its lights, it was roughly the same size as his runabout. He dunked back under the water, moving swiftly to the bottom of the rowboat. He held the light up to the spot where the package was attached. A makeshift loop of duct tape had been hooked to a short length of rope tied to a metal ring on the bottom of the boat. Extra protection. The men who'd hired him were cautious. With a swipe, he cut the loop. The package fell free, floating down into his arms. He swam back to his boat and, treading water, hoisted the package over his head. It weighed about 15 pounds, just what he'd expected. All U.S. bills weigh roughly 1 gram. So 2,500 $100 bills would weigh 5.5 pounds. The rifle, assuming it was the same model he'd used in D.C., weighed another 6. Ammo and the case, another 2. All the waterproof bags and tape added another pound. He tossed it into the well of his boat and climbed aboard. The other boat was moving toward his. It was a small fishing yacht, maybe 25 feet, and it had already covered half the distance between him and the shore. He looked to a wooden dock jutting from the center of the Crescent Island. He allowed himself to hope that the boat was heading for the dock. If the boat didn't get any closer, he wouldn't have to do it. The boat kept coming. "Dem," he said quietly. Judging by its speed, he had a minute until it reached him. Using the X-Acto knife, he slid open 4 layers of heavy-duty plastic bags. Inside the 5th bag, in shrink-wrapped plastic, he found the money. Always find the money first. Without it, nothing else matters. Next, he unwrapped the black rifle bag. Since coming to America,